I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's the KSL Unrivaled podcast edition of the program as we are into now. Oh, man, we're already into week three of this weird reality that we're in. Scott, because listen, Scott Mitchell, by the way, over here.
Hello, everybody.
So,
I'm over here.
Scott's over here. I'm trying to figure out what this. So I'm going through a move at this same time. It's been great. My neighbors, I know they want to help, but I think they also know too. It's like, ooh, this is nice. I don't have to help. You know what I mean? And so I've been lifting a lot of stuff on my own. And you gave me a lot of courage because you're like, oh, listen, I moved by myself. It's fine. I've done it. I had to
moved everything by myself.
Yeah. Dressers. Well, you get a dolly? What do you do?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was just you. I imagined you was just picking stuff up with one arm.
Me and my dolly. It's so, like two guys in a truck,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, two guys
it's
in a truck, me and my dolly.
It's like, I'm moving. Well, no, I wasn't under a time constraint.
Yeah,
and
I guess that's
true. It was
just
like I can – I wasn't in the sense that
– Where were you moving
from? I sold my house, and I had to move and put everything in storage.
Okay.
So I moved everything into a storage unit. Well, it was actually multiple storage units.
That's a big flex there, Scott. They call me Scott Multiple Storage Units Mitchell.
No, because I had odd things. Like I had a boat, and then I had my fishing boat had to go in. I had a trailer, like a towing trailer, and some things like that. And so, I'm a good stacker, too. I mean, when you talk about Tetris, putting things in the Tetris form, I can do that.
So – I'm not really good at this whole moving thing, and we're trying to figure it out here.
Why aren't you good?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I am.
Do you want me to help you?
I'm just I don't want you to do that. No,
why
no.
Why not?
Because I have people who are saying the same thing. I save your back. I've got other people.
I'm not going to save. No, I'll just show you how to do it.
Oh, okay, all right.
Like
draw it up on a
No. I'll come.
You'll come over and
I'll come and organize.
Point. Okay. I love it.
No.
Will you come do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Scott's going to be, general manager? What do I have to pay you?
You don't have to pay me anything. Just feed me something.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting
something
for.
Good, though.
No, so I was supposed to, but here are the other things. Here are the other.
I'll
so we have these Corona. Here, I'm going to start. I've got to play some music.
I'm in an ice cream mode.
Okay. You're in an ice cream mode. Ice cream sales are up by like 50%, by the way, here in the state of Utah. And I think we're already one of the larger ice cream consuming people. No, but I wonder what it looks like with returning to sports, what it looks like when everything is said and done. We're going to have to go back to being friendly again, or if we're going to just start being – if we're going to be just antisocial now from here on out. Like, because I noticed that I am avoiding talking to people and they're avoiding talking to me. And not like, over the phone or anything, but I'm saying just like you don't really interact with neighbors anymore. or you do from a distance, and nobody's really talking. And I get uncomfortable when I watch on TV people who are like embrace on TV shows and stuff, and I'm like, oof, that's not the distance they're supposed to keep. So I wonder what normal looks like when we go back to it. Scott, we have a couple things here. So I put a tweet out about athletes that people had good interactions with that they came in contact with. Like, you know, you run into so-and-so at a – somebody told a tale on Twitter of being at the Crossroads Mall in 1991. They see Dennis Rodman and Isaiah Thomas. And somebody walks – one of these kids walks up to Isaiah Thomas – and says, hey, can I get your Isaiah Thomas? Can I get your autograph? And Isaiah Thomas said, go blank yourself. Does that match up with the Isaiah Thomas that you ever had in wrestling?
Like, here's the thing.
You were in Detroit when they were there still. So
yeah.
Did you ever have any interactions with the Detroit Pistons?
When you're, it's hard for me to say that because, you know, for the most part, when you're on that, if you're the starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions, you know, if you go talk to Isaiah Thomas, it's different than someone, you know. He might say that to me jokingly, but
right.
I wouldn't get treated differently.
Like
you just don't get
what
that.
What was your rule with people walking
but
up?
But there's an interesting.
All
right, and I'll answer your question. The interesting thing for me was most of the NFL quarterbacks that I was contemporaries with were really nice, but they weren't, right? And they weren't in the sense that they're – it's like they all act like they're nice with each other, and there's events and people are like, you know, or you see guys, whatever – but no one wanted anyone to be better than they were. And every guy there thought he was the best guy. Yeah, you know when, like, the movie Top Gun?
Yeah.
When these are, like, the best of the best. And everyone in that room thought they were Top Gun. But there was only going to be one Top Gun.
Sure.
They all thought that they were actually that way. And so I would be, like with Dan Marino, be in a meeting, and he goes, man, I cannot stand Warren Moon. And he goes, because that guy's going to beat my records. I don't want anybody to beat my records, right? And then we play Warren Moon, and Marino would go up to him before the game. Hey, how are you? And they just
you are really talented.
Yeah,
I just love watching you play, man.
So the niceness and all that stuff. It's just and he would talk trash about like all of them,
every
right?
one of them,
all of them.
Yeah,
but then their best bud. Like,
yeah, I get
it. Never really got along. I never really liked Boomer Esiason. He wasn't like
right. And you guys had to interface all the time.
Yeah, and it was just like, yeah, whatever. But most of the guys.
Oh, wait, Boomer's a lefty.
I know.
What's the problem?
Left-handed quarterbacks, all of them.
Say all of us. That's yes. You guys.
Well, it's not me because I'm nice. But the rest of them. That's true. I am. I'm nice.
Wait, I'm trying to think
of
like.
There's only one more.
Yes. Yeah.
Hello.
So Steve Young. He goes on the list of not really your interactions weren't as good with him.
I'm just.
Look, you played at Utah. He played at BYU. Did he carry that grudge?
There was a bit of a yeah.
You guys didn't really get along that well.
I don't want to say we didn't get along. We just didn't interact.
Yeah,
it just wasn't that way. And yeah. I was like, whatever. But I interacted with Joe Montana.
Ty Detmer.
Jim
McMahon. I think about it, that would be BYU quarterbacks probably got along
right.
with.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just whatever. It was. Okay. But it's that weird nice, but not nice.
Let me ask you about. Was there ever a time that you knew, like, somebody could tweet in, because somebody tweeted in, they're like, I met Scott Mitchell, he was a great guy. And they were like, oh, yeah, I was in an event, and Scott was there, and he was super nice. It was cool for a Ute, that's what it was. He was fly for a Ute guy. So he goes, but I'm wondering if in your mind you can imagine there were times you're like, I don't like this right now. I don't want to be talked to. I don't want to sign any autographs, and if somebody asks me about it, I'm probably not going to be real happy about it. And if you ever had an interaction where somebody could tweet in and go, yeah, I met Scott Mitchell, he's a total dirtbag to me.
I would probably
I think it's okay. I think athletes can be jerks sometimes because fans are jerks too a lot of times.
I would want to think that there isn't. Because I know my mindset about it, like you said, what are your rules if someone comes up to you? I just always sign something for them, or I always try to interact with people or whatever as much as I can. And I just felt like this is an opportunity for a free commercial because that person's going to say something for you forever. So it's either going to be a good or bad thing. And it's like your customers, you know, your customers are your best, they're your best, like, advertisement that you could possibly have. If your customers aren't happy, then you're going to have a bad business.
Well, so why would
it's always nice to
Why would John Stockton's
Why
would John Stockton's thing be that that's his mode? Is everybody thinks that John Stockton is a jerk when they meet him. A lot of people are like that. I've met John Stockton twice and was totally fine with me. Now, they were both on the air mostly, but even off the air, he was very like, yeah, awesome, great, let's take a picture, blah, blah, blah. But in my mind, there are so many people that responded to us on Twitter and said, John Stockton was not nice to people. He was very cold and was not really like, didn't really interact with kids, said no to signing autographs sometimes. Why would John Stockton like just accept, you know what, that's going to just kind of be my thing?
I think that there's this... And this happened to me. So I was really popular when I was in college, right? I had a really good career. People thought highly of me. You know, you were
making the number one of all time Utah quarterback list back then.
No question. Yeah, all century. No, I was. I was on the all century. It was like a big deal at the time. And then I went to the Miami Dolphins. It was a humbling experience to now, for the first time in your life, be told, you're not that important. You're not a big deal to us. And so no one cared about me. Right? No, nobody actually cared.
That's a good thing for you.
It was a great thing. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, I mean, the minute I started playing, oh my goodness, how people changed. Even my own teammates were like, "Hey, buddy, hey, you know." All these people, and they want, and what they do is they want something from you.
Throw me that pass.
They want your time. I mean, your teammates. Yeah, they're just like, "Hey, if I can get in with Mitchell here, it's going to help me." Right? It's not about, they're not interested in you as a person. They're interested in what can I get from you? So John Stockton looks at it as all this person wants is they want a part of my fame so that they can go now have some credibility to themselves. It's like, look, I got his autograph. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Right. I'm just saying that's the perspective.
Well, I'm saying it's wrong when like the vibe is that you put off that you're kind of a jerk all the time.
Well, you know, that.
I guess that's interesting that
maybe
you can like, kind of understand.
Maybe he's a jerk. You know, maybe he's just being who he is. I don't know John Stockton. I've had a tremendous respect for him. I'm a huge fan of his as a basketball player. Loved how he played the game of basketball. Will never for the rest of my life forget his shot against the Houston Rockets. I mean, he was great to watch. But there's also there's the outside, hey, I'm Tiger Woods, the public, or not Tiger Woods. I'm John Stockton, the public person, but then I'm also John Stockton, the private person. And I think there was a massive separation for him. And I think he just said, it's all business when I'm out here as John Stockton, the basketball player, and I'm always going to be a certain way. And he's a guy that was being disciplined and focused and direct with things was what made him great. And
what
so
about,
he
like,
had
people,
to hold true to how that was all the time.
I don't know. Like, what's the like in my mind?
Alex,
I think,
it's a hassle to get hounded all the time.
Yeah, I get it.
It's not fun to live a life where you have to live like I got to go through the service elevator. I can't really go out in public. I can't. That weighs on people after a while, and so you live somewhat of an isolated life. You don't want. It's like it's not even fun for me to go out to the movie or to go out to dinner because I'm just constantly barraged with people, and I want to be private. And so I'm like, forget this. I will not go out in public. I will be this personality. I don't have a problem with how John Stockton is. I really don't. I get that side of it, and I know it's a choice, and it's a choice because of so much of a demand on your time that you can't accommodate everyone. There's just no way.
Is there somebody that you were like, that is the most genuine person?
You know, a guy that's always
because like you played with Barry Sanders. That guy is the most probably iconic. Maybe between he and Dan Marino, those are the two iconic guys you played with.
Pretty good iconic players,
right?
Too.
And Dan Marino, I feel like was a guy. Quarterbacks like are built to take it.
Dan was actually extremely. He was.
I could see that.
He was really nice to me.
I feel like they're built
always
for that.
Super nice.
But his personality was like that. I feel like Barry Sanders, in my mind, has never been like, man, what a fun guy. Like,
Barry
that's not
Sanders,
the thing people say about Barry Sanders being a fun, jovial, interesting guy. Those words never come out of people's mouths.
Barry Sanders might be along the vein of John Stockton. Not to the extreme. Because Barry will, you know, he'll take a picture, he'll whatever. But
I don't think it's his personality to jam with everybody and to chat, be
very,
chatty.
Very,
and,
very private person.
Yeah.
Very much so. But I'll tell you the guy that, to me, I think was the most genuine, and he's not the most famous guy either.
Who is it?
Is Warwick Dunn. He's a guy
pretty dang famous,
He's a guy,
former Florida State guy. Yeah, yeah.
And he started this, like, building these homes for these women that didn't have it, and it stayed. You know, his career is long gone and faded, and he has been a guy that's really. That was something that was very genuine and real. A lot of guys have charities, and they get into charities because what makes you look better. It's part of your public image. It's your public relations. And for him, it was part of who he was just as a person. And you know another guy I think is that way? J.J. Watt. I really do. I
get a little jaded with J.J. just because, I mean, he's so big physically, and he's just become so big as a celebrity. And he's done so much charity-wise that you could never falter. He's done so much for charities that you can never go, that guy's a punk. But I do think that there is a think commercially first sometimes thing with these guys. And I think it's built into them. From the minute they get in the league, they go, this league's a business, this league's a business, this league's a business. So you better make your business and make hay while the sun shines. Otherwise, there's no more business for you.
The whole public relations thing about charities.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. No question. So for me, I wish that you could see, you know, the most down-to-earth conversation I've ever had with an athlete was Ty Detmer. We did like a five-part interview with him for radio, for TV, and it was about when he had first come back to BYU as the offensive coordinator. And it was a conference special. So it's not even that much talk about football at all. It was all about his conversion to the LDS Church and all these things. And it was like, It was in between the breaks when we would like, he would just, it wasn't like, I got to take a call and walk out of the room. It was.
You know, I was his missionary, don't you?
Oh, stop it. I'm not going to allow this. Wait, were you?
No, it's, no.
Oh, you were?
It's just like, so when I didn't go to BYU, he went to BYU. Had I been at BYU, he wouldn't have gone.
Oh, so you're the guy. So you're the catalyst made it happen.
The words came out of his mouth, not mine.
There you go.
He goes, look, you were my missionary.
But between those breaks of us chatting,
no, he really said that, Alex.
I get it. No, I see that. I can see how that could happen. I just remember him telling me, like, his parents, like, that when he told me about how his parents were like, dude, this is not good, man.
I can't imagine.
This is not. And I grew up. I grew up in Texas too.
He went with his dad. He sought out BYU.
Yeah.
With his dad.
And they were not down with him becoming a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the beginning. It was tough for them to understand.
I'm sure.
They're on board now, obviously, but, like, man, he was like, that was hard times. He got choked up talking about, like, how tough that was, and it was an awesome interview. But that was probably the most – I think about all the – you know, I've come in contact with a lot of athletes, but a lot of them are in media roles, and they can – it's either way. They can give you a totally great interview, or they can be total, like, jerks to the media. And either way, it's not the real interface that you get with a person. The media, I don't know. There are very few people that I interview that I go, oh, we got the real version of him. You know what I mean?
Right.
You interviewed Kyle. We interviewed Kyle Whittingham today for our show. And I don't think to myself, well, give me the real version of Kyle Whittingham. Because I just think he's so buttoned up. He's so good at his answers and everything that he can talk about anything. And he'll come across as pretty normal. But he's also a private dude. Like, that guy is a very... and he has his own things, and he won't. And, you know, so I get that. I get why they have to have that. So fans, just don't bother him, all right? Stay away from him.
I say bother him.
No, I'm just kidding.
We all put our pants on and off the same way. We're all just human beings here together, sharing the planet. Don't be
trying
so
to stay
full
away from
of yourself that somehow you
look. They're gonna get
you
look,
have greater importance than someone else.
Apparently, the athletes and the coaches are the ones that all get coronavirus anyway. That's all I've heard about. Yeah.
I mean, if Tom Hanks is one of the first people to get coronavirus, then we're all on this planet together.
There you go. All right. Next one. Don't act like we're done, Scott. I want to ask you about that whole Tom Brady thing. The general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers says Tom Brady rolled up and did a presentation, a pitch to them about why he should be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. And I rolled my eyes and went, that's such garbage.
Like, no, it's not garbage at all.
And I thought, why would he have to do that?
No,
why
no,
would
no.
Tom Brady have to pitch himself to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Because he's been, to start with, he's been in New England for 20 years. He's won six Super Bowls.
Greatest quarterback ever. You're not going to do much. Going to one of the worst franchises ever.
Why in the world would you ever want to come to Tampa Bay? Why would you want to leave that? So that's a serious question I would definitely ask someone. Then I would say, well, you're 43. Like, no one's played and even played well at 43.
Why are you coming? Oh, okay, so like an idea is like,
how much gas do you have in the tank? How good, you know, how motivated are you really?
Or maybe it's a, like, hey, man, we're committing to pay you $60 million guaranteed, or whatever it was. It was like, no, it was like a $60 million contract, 50 of it's guaranteed. Why would we do that for somebody who's only really interested in playing maybe 1 year? Or well, maybe even just playing 60% for the next 2 years?
They know it's 2 years. All right, he knows it's 2 years. And the Buccaneers are like, look, we're giving up stuff. We know Jameis Winston threw a whole bunch of interceptions last year, but he threw for a whole lot of yards. He's a former first pick in the draft. He's a former Heisman Trophy winner. He's a guy that's shown some ability to play in this league. Will he get better? Will he improve? Will he be a guy that wins Super Bowls? We don't know. But he's still it's a lot to throw all of that out of the window in such a short time frame. Now, Bruce Arians, who wasn't there when they drafted him, inherited him. A lot of times that's the kiss of death. When you're a player and a new coach comes in and you get inherited by a new coach, it's really hard because they want to put their spin on it. They want their guys in there, and very few guys survive a new head coach. It's how it is. But they're still saying, you know, Bruce Arians says, look, I've worked with a lot of different guys in a lot of different situations, and I've turned them into something spectacular. They've had their best years, their best career with me. And I'm sure, I know that Tom Brady had that discussion.
They're kind of having the same, I heard somebody say something very similar to what you said, which was, Tom Brady's going to fall in love with Bruce Arians' offense. He's a quarterback guy. Yeah. And then they were like, no, but he's really going to be, they're going to love it. And I thought, just another thing, could you imagine Tom Brady getting better? And could you imagine him getting into a better system than what he was already in? Because it was essentially the system that he created.
This is another thing, and this may sound strange, but it's a real thing. Living and playing in a warm weather climate as a professional athlete, so much easier than living in Boston, Massachusetts, or Detroit, Michigan, or Chicago, or Minnesota, or even Green Bay. Because as the season wears on, like, you're inside. And there's something that's weird about being inside and practicing. It just doesn't have the same feel to it. But you can practice outside in Tampa, Florida, the entire season. And not only practice, but like practice in shorts or a short sleeve shirt in there. And just that kind of wear and tear on your body, it's a small thing, massive thing. Because I saw it. I went to the Miami Dolphins. I was like, man, this is November. And like, I'm not cold, and right. I'm like, oh man, you go out to practice and you're freezing cold, and you just want to hurry and get practice. Oh, it's like, you know, we can stay out here all day, and so it's, and that means more when you're 43 than you know, maybe when you're younger. I absolutely think Tom Brady had to sell the Tampa Bay Bucks on him, though. That does not surprise me.
That's interesting.
Not at all.
I'm interested to see what version of Tom Brady we get, like a guy who starts breaking down. Because we kind of saw it a little bit in pieces over the last couple of years, where you're like, that's not really the Tom Brady I remember. And if that just falls off right now, or if he gets this little mini rejuvenation and has an amazing year this year.
You saw it with Drew Brees. You saw in that playoff game, he's like, he was missing throws. He'd hit 100% of the time.
We're going to take the break here. If you don't listen to the podcast at all, well, now's a good opportunity to get involved in it and say, oh, I stumbled onto this. And tell your friends that, hey, we're still doing some sports talk here, some breakdowns by Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, every day right here on KSL's Unrivaled, over the air on KSL News Radio and KSLNewsRadio.com. Go to KSLSports.com, and you can find the podcast button and click on it there. For Scott, I'm Alex. Stay safe, buddy, down at your house, all right?
I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah, and you, right. You as well.
I will.
Your grand move around the country.
Let's just... It's 20 miles north, but yeah.
Well, it's a new world to
you, buddy. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.